For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, June the 20th, 1982. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Glenn Miller is the speaker of the morning.
Let's just praise the Lord now and thank Him for the anointing that breaks every yoke. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Let's make a confession today. Christ Jesus liveth in me. Christ Jesus liveth in me. Christ Jesus liveth in me. Think about that. Think about that. That's what Jeff was talking about last night. That incorruptible seed planted in us. That is too much for our carnal minds to take in. We have to take it in by the Spirit. By the Spirit. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my Spirit in these days. Glenn and I have been 50 years in Pentecostal meetings. We've had a lot of mighty and a lot of powerful meetings. Now, we weren't the ministers. We're only, God called us to the ministry of help. We don't even claim to be ministers or preachers. We're all ministers. All of you are ministers. But it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And that, when the Holy Spirit swept in here, was the time. It may not be too churchy, but that was the time to act. And praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, I have asked the Lord to send Michael, the archangel, sweeping over this place at least once each day to push back the black darkness and the armies of the aliens and to bring the heavenly host from the throne right down into this building. And I believe that he's doing it. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. And there's a lot of miracles yet coming, but we've had miracles here already. We've had a lot of miracles here already. And the Lord is going to meet all of you as you open up your hearts. And as you receive by the Spirit of the Lord, He's going to meet the needs. And we believe that this week is going to be so wonderful for all of your lives. Everybody here needs help. I need help. We all need help. And the Lord is our helper, and He is our strength. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What do you want me to do? You want me to take up the offering? Now, I have to say to the Lord all the time, you know, we were in the aerospace industry in California. We had a big publications business, and I understand this lady over here used to work at S&ID, Glenn, the North American facility in Costa County. We had this big company, and we didn't have to ask anybody for money because we had money. But when we came here, the Lord impressed upon us to give everything that we had saved. Now, we have been married, and He never told me until a few minutes ago, happy anniversary. This is our 41st anniversary today. No, you don't have to sing. You don't have to sing to us. The Lord has just blessed our marriage and blessed us here. And I have to say to the Lord sometimes, Lord, we sure didn't think this place up. You did. So, Lord, you're going to have to take care of us, and you're going to have to take care of these bills. You know, they just float in. You never seen so many bills coming in from new buildings and all of this, even repair bills, and the Lord has just taken care of us. Sometimes when I'm just about dangling over the precipice, you know, just think, this is it. We'll get a letter in the mail, and it'll be from somebody we don't even know, and it will just be the right amount to take care of the finances. Now, we needed that new walk-in refrigerator, and boy, those things are really costly. And there was a little, very quiet little man came one day, young-like man, and he just handed Patty, I think, or Kevin, $3,000 check for the walk-in. Now, who do you think sent that boy here? The Lord. I think he was from Lexington, Kentucky. And the Lord has just met all of the needs here. And I know that you're going to want to help. You're going to want to help. We want to send these speakers away with joy. It costs them money to come, and we want to bless them, and we want to... Oh, I see my friend grandson coming in. We have twin grandsons, 19 years old, next week, and but they have a job that calls them to work many, many hours uptown, so I just see him. I had to wave at him. You know grandmas, how they are. But we're going to wait on you this morning, and let's give with joy. I'd like to have you bring it with joy and sing God Got an Army. Would you do that? Where's the Bible? And just bring it and put it up here unto the Lord. This is a storehouse. This is a garrison unto the Lord. And you know, one time I was riding on a plane to going to Sweden with a full gospel businessman, and a lady come up from way back in the back of the plane. She came up and she said to me, "The Lord tells me that one day you're going to have a garrison." So I said, "Fine." I didn't know what she was talking about even. When I got home, I thought about that again. I said, "I wonder what that means." So I looked it up, and it is a place where, in the army, where soldiers come for R&R, and they come to get equipped, get new equipment and new ammunition, and new strength to go out and fight the enemy. So that didn't mean too much to me in those days, but it means a lot to me now. I understand it. You know, a lot of times these prophecies will come to you and you may not understand them at the time. We're still walking in the prophecies that the prophets, Joel and all of those prophesied. Everything hasn't come to pass yet. Daniel and all of them. So never take lightly a prophecy, but don't just live on prophecies all the time, because you'll get balanced and fall off the limb. But praise God for all of you people, and I know you're going to give as unto God. And I'm going to ask Tony to come, because he's got a strong voice. I'm not even a singer, but Tony's going to sing God's Got an Army, and it's on your list, number 10 on your course sheet. God's Got an Army. And don't think for one minute he's not strong. And he is the leader of this great army, and it's coming forth. It's starting. There's a moving in the mulberry trees. There's a sounding a battle. You know, we don't retreat anymore. We don't have retreats here. That's ridiculous. We have advances. Move against the enemy. Don't wait till he moves against you to start fight, but move against him and begin to fight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And things are going to happen. Come on, Tony, and sing. And all of you just come in order and leave your offering here on the Bible. Bless you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Don't sit down. I want you to stay standing. See if you. I'd rather have it in my Bible if it'll stay in it, but I don't know if it will or not. We'll have service will be this afternoon at 2:30, and again tonight at 7:00. And anyone here who can play a musical instrument and does not play it, if you have it with you or something we have here that you can play and you don't play it, you need to repent. If I could play anything, I'd be, like the tambourine, I'm lost if it disappears. But if I could play any other instrument, or a dozen instruments, I'd have them all sitting beside me, and I'd play whichever one the Lord laid on me to play, and I'd play it every time there was a song sung. I would. But if you come to these meetings and you have a musical instrument and you don't bring it, I consider you sinning against us and the Lord. So, if you can do, and if you come again and you can, bring it with you. Honey, I do have something here. And I do love you. Praise you, Jesus. Father, as we come now in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I come as the priest of this place this day, and I bring this offering of your people, and I present it and give it unto Jesus, our high priest, to give and to bring as an offering on the altar before the throne, as a sweet savor from your people. I ask you to receive it, Lord, and to bless and return your blessing unto these people as it came from their hearts, for you know every man's heart. And then, Father, as I become the steward of it, responsible for it, the disbursement of it, give us wisdom, Lord, and give us understanding, Lord, and help us, Lord, to use it wisely, that we shall not waste even one cent of it, Lord, but we shall use it for your glory, and every penny of it shall count. And in eternity there shall be said that none was lost. And I thank you for becoming the steward of it. And as I receive it, Lord, I pray your blessing upon your people, that the anointing of the Lord shall flow and move over them, that health and strength and life shall be their portion, that their family shall come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the Spirit of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit shall chase their families and their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren until they bend their knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I decree and declare that to be so in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the glory of God the Father and Jesus our Lord. Now, Father, I bind this money to your kingdom and to the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it shall be used for nothing but the necessities of life and the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, no matter whose hands it goes through, as long as money is used, until your kingdoms become a reality in this earth and you rule and reign in person as well as through your people. And I thank you for that privilege. Now, Lord, bless back and multiply unto them. And, Father, as they have given unto thee, Lord, and, Father, do as your will be for their glory. And we praise you for it, and I bless you for it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise you, Jesus.
Oh, the bread of Jesus. Oh, the bread of Jesus. Oh, the bread of Jesus.
thank you. Father, we thank you this morning for the blood. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for cleansing us with it. We thank you for renewing us. We thank you for restoration. I praise you for it. I thank you for it. I thank you for the blood that cleanses me from sin. I thank you for the blood that renews my mind, that washes out all the filth of yesterday, that I can replace it with the word of the living God. I thank you for it, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the blood that washes out the subconscious, Lord. Those things that have been put there since childhood, Lord. Wash them and remove them, Lord. That with the blood of the Lord Jesus, that we may stand holy and pure and righteous before Thee to minister the word of the Lord. In whatever position that you have us, Lord, that we may minister in righteousness for Thy name's sake, that Jesus may be glorified and magnified. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. For a while this morning, we're going to talk about the blood of the Lord Jesus. That's a subject that is beyond me. It's beyond my comprehension. It's beyond my understanding. It's beyond my ability to explain it. All I can do is take the word and talk about it from there. I don't understand it. I think in eternity, I don't believe we'll ever really, in the eons of eternity, fully understand what Calvary and the blood of Jesus means. I think we will continually learn through eternity what the application of Calvary means to us. And we take it so lightly. We don't apply it. Now today, the scriptures I'm using don't even use the scriptures. I'm not even using the scriptures that apply to Calvary as such in that way. That's a whole different subject, really, altogether from what I'm... There are so many applications of the blood of Jesus. I heard Claiborne Booth once, the great-grandson of Brother Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, talk for 2.5 hours one night about the blood. And he quit because he just had to quit, but he said that he could have talked all night and never quit. And he said that one time that he did talk for 7 hours about the blood of Jesus. And I heard him. He said, I have that on tape, and I've been wanting to find it sometime and re-listen to it. But he said one thing that I've never forgotten. It always, every time I think of it, it comes to my memory. He said that Jesus was bound by what he had to do for the Lord, or for his Father. He was bound that the first miracle that he did here on earth had to be the miracle of turning water into wine. That if he hadn't have done that, there would have been nothing that would have set his authority, but his blood was going to cleanse. Now, I don't exactly understand that. He explained it at the time. But he said that turning the water into wine represented the shed blood of the Lord Jesus and the pouring out of the water and the covering of the sins of the world. And he said that that had to be the first miracle that he did. Well, I thought of that after I came up here. That wasn't... This morning, let's turn over to Leviticus, chapter 17. And for a little while, we're going to look at one application of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, here on Sunday mornings, we have Bible study, just as we're having this morning. And I generally have quite a few helpers. So if somebody really thinks they really have something to fit in with what we're doing, I'll give you a half a minute to read your verse. I don't want any dissertations, but if you have a verse of scripture that you feel is applicable, also, I even may have that, but if you have it, I will allow you to call it out and we'll look it up and read it this morning. That's the way we study here on Sunday mornings. Leviticus chapter 17, starting with verse 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore, I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel or of the stranger that sojourneth among you, that which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust, for it is the life of the flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 16. Only you shall not eat the blood. You shall pour it out upon the earth as water. The reason I read that is because we're told that with two or three witnesses, everything is to be established. And we can take a piece of a verse and twist it. We can find verses in the Bible that we can take pieces of them and we can twist them to make anything out of them we want to make out of them. And we can twist them to your own destruction. So the scripture says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything shall be established. So we've got two. Now let's go back to Leviticus chapter 3. I want us to understand the seriousness of the blood. Verse 17, the last verse of chapter 3. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings. Perpetual means forever. That you eat neither fat nor blood. Very interesting. I'm sure there's many of you sitting here in this congregation this morning that either you or your parents have made blood pudding and you've eaten blood pudding. God says that's an abomination to him forever. There's a lot of us here have eaten fat. God says we shan't do it. And just this week, the government issued a statement about the eating of fat. God must know what he's talking about, or else he wouldn't have it in the Bible. But we want to go our own way and do what we think. Say, oh, God didn't mean what he said. And see, we're coming back to find, they tell us that eating fat has causes of cancer. Fat causes cholesterol and heart trouble. See, if we follow God's laws and what God says in here and not rebel against the word of the Lord, we'll have lots better health and we'll not come under God's judgments. See, when we do these things, contrary to the word of the Lord, we automatically come where God doesn't protect us. You're not under God's protection. Satan has an open door to that part of your life until you tell God you're sorry and you repent and ask God to forgive you. Then that door can be closed. And then you can get rid of Satan. You know, deliverance, all of you here are here because most of you know about deliverance. You've had some knowledge of it. But people talk about, oh, Christians can't have demons and this. I wish that were true. It would be wonderful if it were true. They say, how can it be so? Here's one way right here. Here's one door that a lot of us have opened to Satan, which gives him a right. And God's word says that he can't protect you until you repent of it. Then you can get rid of Satan. We have cancer, we have arthritis, we have other diseases. Mainly, most of it is because we have not adhered to the word of the Lord or our ancestors. A lot of times, it's not our fault. We've inherited it. Bible tells to the third and the fourth generation and to the tenth generation. We prayed for a lot of people back 30 generations. But evidently it has just kept carrying on and somebody through before it ran out, somebody got into the sin again and carried it on, perpetuated it and carried it on. So we're living under the curses. But the word of the Lord says that he put on the heathen. We've gotten them because we haven't followed God's word and kept our lives, our ancestors haven't kept right before the Lord. We have those curses on us, and we have to learn and come to an understanding and a knowledge to get those curses broken. I know the scripture says that Jesus became a curse so that we don't have to be a curse. It says that, doesn't it? Okay. It also says that Jesus, that all might be saved, that none should be lost. What's the next question? Are they all saved? Is the world all saved? Then if Jesus became a curse so that we don't have to bear a curse, and Jesus died so that all would be saved, then either all are saved, and if they're not, then is the word of the Lord wrong? No. You have to come to an acknowledgement, and it's the same with the curses. The curses, the curse, Jesus dying on the tree, becoming a curse, does not automatically take us from under the curse. We have to come into a knowledge of it and an understanding of it, and we have to walk into that light, and we have to work at getting the curses off of us that we've gotten ourselves under, and our ancestors have gotten us under by being visited to the third and the fourth and the tenth generation, because God's word will not lie. God's word is true, and we're living under the word of the Lord, and we have to come to that knowledge of it. Okay, well, Acts chapter 15, starting with verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James is Jesus' brother, half-brother. In the book of James, James does not claim to be Jesus' brother, even though he is. He merely says, a servant of the Lord Jesus. And James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the nations. That word should not be Gentile, it should be nations. To take out of them a people for his name. Almost, there are very few places in the Bible where the word Gentile should be Gentile. I think there are only six places in the Bible where the word Gentile should be Gentile. It should either be read heathen or nation. And if you learn to read it that way, it'll make an awful lot of a different understanding to you as to who we are and who God's people are and to what God's plan for the ages is. Simeon has declared how God at the first did visit the nations to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophet, as it is written. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Now, I need to talk about that verse a little bit. That has nothing to do with the blood, but as we go along, we'll talk about things that we need to have an understanding about, that we've been misguided and had misinterpretations. This says, understand what the tabernacle of David was or is. The tabernacle of David was a tent. It was not a building. And you notice here it doesn't say that it was torn down or that it was destroyed. It says it fell down. It's fallen down. And the Lord says that he's going to build it again. Now, the tabernacle of David is being rebuilt today. But it's being rebuilt, and we, the temples of the living God. We are the temple of the living God. And we are that temple that God's rebuilding, the tabernacle of David, which fell down. And it's an example of the children of Israel who also fell down. They didn't come up to the standard of God. They fell beneath the standard of God. But today, he's building a people who shall come to the full stature of the Son of God. And there shall be a temple, clean and holy, without spot and wrinkle, the temple of the living God. And that's what God's rebuilding today, the tabernacle of David in the land. And we've been told about the temple in Jerusalem and all of that. The word of the Lord never tells us that that temple will be ever rebuilt. Now, it may be rebuilt, but you can't find a scripture that says it will be. God said that he destroyed it. It would be destroyed. And he never says he'll rebuild it. The work of man, the man's work and man's hands. And God destroyed the things of man and the things that were worshipped as a building. He destroyed that. God is rebuilding as the temple of God in us, where man doesn't worship it, but the temple worships God. And we are that building. It's coming forth a temple, holy, built together. The living body of Christ, the church of the living God, is coming forth to glorify and magnify the name of the Lord. The tabernacle of David. Hallelujah. And not something that we've been misled and misguided off over there in the unholy, holy land that we've been so misguided about. Okay, let's read on. 15. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. That the residue of men, might seek after the Lord, and all the nations upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble them not, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, or from among the nations are turned to God. See, that makes a lot of difference. We read it nations. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Pollution of idols. Most of us here don't have any idols set up. I hope none of you do. I hope none of you've got a Buddha in your house, or a sun god, or any of these idols in your house. I hope you have none of these abominable things that's another god in your house. But besides these other gods, as I've mentioned there, there's lots of other gods that Americans and other people around the world have. Some people's cars, their god. Washed and polished every day. They shine it. They think more of their car than some of them do their children. Or their wife, maybe. That's their god. Some people, football's their god. Every football game on, they've got to see it. That's their god. They can't be bothered. Baseball, golf, tennis. I can go on and on. Fancy, nice thing. They're all right in their place. But is that your god? When we left California, Irma had lots of crystal. She always loved crystal. In our travels around the world, what we have from place to place, we've collected up little pieces of crystal here and there. When we left California 8 years ago, Irma packed up and took her suitcase one day. I took her down to the airport one night with her suitcase, and she walked out of the house just as if she was going to go visit somebody. I put her on the plane, and she never came back. She came here and never returned. She never took the clothes out of the closet. She never took the dishes off the shelf. She never moved. She never packed a piece of crystal. She just left. I went back 4 months later with some of the fellows from here. We packed everything up in boxes, all the crystal, all the nice things. And to this day, almost all of it is still packed in boxes someplace on this campground. We've never missed it. We've thought about it once in a while, but we've never missed it. I don't know if we'll ever unpack it, we'll ever have a place to put it, but we packed it up. Can you pack your God up and put it away? Never be remembered of it. Make Jesus first in your life. He says, and turn from fornication. This nation today is rampant. Now things have kind of lost a lot of their being, and now it's sex. The god of this world is sex. Everywhere you turn, it's sex. Fornication, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, an abomination to God. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of it. Pompeii was destroyed because of it. An abomination to God. Have you got yourself cleaned up? Have you repented of all of those things? Have you got the soul ties broken between you and every person you've ever had any ungodly relations with, and ask God to cleanse you and break the soul tie? Because when that happens, you two become one, and you carry a tie with that person as long as you live, unless you repent of it and ask God to break and have that tie broken off of your life. You're in bondage to that thing. Then he says, again, from blood. To abstain from blood. We need, as I mentioned before, to repent to those who've eaten blood sausage and blood pudding. And that's because God says that's an abomination, that you'll be cut off. He says back there that you'd be cut off from him for doing that. We need to... The Bible says that those who shall see God, he says, are without spot and wrinkle. We're getting the spots and wrinkles out. This is part of it. We're coming to a knowledge and an understanding of what God's Word says, that we've been ignorant of. All of you sitting here are no longer ignorant. You're no longer ignorant. You're responsible. Now it's up to you to do something about it and make it right with you and the Lord, and make it right between you and what your parents did. Daniel of old came. And what did he do? He confessed the sins of the nation. Then he confessed the sins of his fathers. And then he confessed his sins. Father, I come this morning as a priest standing here as Daniel of old. I confess the sins of this nation, God. They're an abomination unto you, Lord. The filth of this nation, and your judgment has to fall on this nation, God, to cleanse it of the abomination. Father, but I confess the sins of this nation, the abominations that come up as a stench before you. Father, I confess the sins of my fathers, Lord, that they have sinned, and their iniquities that I am carrying, Lord, because of their sins. And Father, I confess my sins. Cleanse me, O God, and wash me this morning in your blood. Cleanse me of my sins, Lord, known and unknown, and wash me afresh and anew today. Lord, that I may walk holy and righteous before thee without spot and wrinkle. And these, Lord, the sins of your people that sit here before me this morning, I bring their sins up before you and ask that the blood of the Lord Jesus wash and cleanse and move on their behalf and cleanse them, Lord, of their blood, of these sins and the sins of their ancestors. Lord, and I break and come against the curses that are visited upon us by your word because of these sins, and I loose us from them in the name of the Lord, that we shall walk in holiness and righteousness before you for your name's sake, that we may be a light and a glory unto thee for Jesus. And I thank you for it this morning, and I praise you for it too. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's go back. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 12, verse 5. We could follow it through in Isaiah, but we won't. You all know the scripture in Isaiah where he, about the Lamb who had no sin. This is a shadow and a foretaste. Your Lamb shall be without blemish. Who Jesus was that Lamb. A male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides of the post. Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. I've always been disturbed since I came into an understanding some of the things about the blood. I was born and raised Pentecostal. My background's Assembly of God. I attended North Central Bible Institute in Minneapolis. That's where I met Irma. She was attending business college there, knowing the Lord ever since I was young. And I've always had a desire to know the Lord Jesus and to know more of him. But I was raised in the Pentecostal, and lots of you here today are going to realize when I say what I'm going to say that it's been that way in your life too, but it was just raised. It was just tradition with me. I didn't know any better. We have lots of things that are tradition with us, and we think they're right. Many, many things. There's a book back there, that two books you ought to have, Two Babylons and Mystery Babylon. It'll help you understand some of the traditions and abomination to God that you think are part of your church and part of the Bible. Just because you've been told that since you can remember. And they're an abomination to God. Well, I don't know how much an abomination this is to God, but it's a tradition, and it's not so. I've always heard my mother and everybody say, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. You can't plead the blood. God has honored our ignorance. He's honored our ignorance. But you can't plead the blood of the Lord Jesus. The blood of the Lord Jesus was freely given on the cross of Calvary as a gift to humanity, to whosoever will. We can't plead for a free gift. It was given. But we can do with the blood, which I just read here, the blood was applied to the doorpost. We can apply the blood, but we can't plead it. We apply the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, 1 Peter, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, good old sanctification, we need a lot of it. Holiness, holiness, becoming less and less and less and less in the Pentecostal and charismatic organizations and moves. But God's calling out a people who shall be holy, who shall desire holiness, who shall seek after it with all their heart. And if somebody tells you a little something that you ought to do different, you'll think about it. You won't argue about it. You may not agree. You may not agree with me. Don't argue with me. Let the Lord talk to you about it. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So, we have a scripture to sprinkle the blood. We can sprinkle with the blood of the Lord Jesus. And that's very effective when you're praying for people for deliverance. You lay your hand on them and say, I apply the blood of the Lord Jesus against you, Satan. Or you put your hand on top of their head and you say, I sprinkle the blood of the Lord Jesus over you, you demon. And they'll cry and they'll scream. And also you can lay your hand on them and say, I burn you with the fire of the Holy Ghost. And they'll say, and sometimes they'll cry and they'll say, it's hot, it's burning me. Take your hand off, it's burning me. Take your hand off. Don't take your hand off. Just keep it there until they leave, until the person's free. They'll feel the fires of hell burning. Okay? So we can apply the blood, we can sprinkle with the blood. Then the blood is a covering. The blood covers the people of the Lord. Over verse 18 in Peter. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, things of man, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Now there we're back to that word of tradition. And if you start looking and studying, you'll be amazed at how much tradition you follow. That's not Scripture. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. And then, over in verse chapter 2, verse 9. Hallelujah. But ye are a chosen generation. Hallelujah. And we are that generation. I declare it to be so. My bones tell me it's so. That we are that generation. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. We are a peculiar people. Hallelujah. That we should show forth, that I should show forth, the praises of him who hath called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Over in Hebrews chapter 9, I declare that this is the generation that shall bring in the kingdom. Hallelujah. 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 We are those people, a chosen people. Praise the name of the Lord. Verse 11, Hebrews 9. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. Now, there we are. The tabernacle's not made with hands. It's not one made with hands. It's not rebuilt over there in the unholy holy land. That is to say, not of this building, and he was talking about the temple at that time, which was still standing, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Hallelujah. And we're looking for him to appear the second time. Hallelujah. He's appearing in us, and we're looking for him also to appear in his body. Praise the name of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read verse 6 correctly as it should be written, as it should be read, as the correct translation is. This is an incorrect translation if you have a King James Version. And he hath made us a kingdom of priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Revelation chapter 12, Praise you, Jesus. Verse 11. I'm going to read my translation. And I have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. And I am overcoming him. And by the word of my testimony. And I love not my life unto the death. Praise the name of the Lord. I hope that's every one of your testimonies here this morning. That you have an all-overcoming sanctum by the blood of the Lord Jesus and by the word of your testimony, and that you love not your life unto the death. Praise the name of the Lord. And we're going to stand and sing that this morning and praise the Lord, and then we'll dismiss you. We've already prayed for everybody as the Lord moved. We've had as the Lord moved this morning and done as the Spirit of the Lord has called us to do. And we're going to stand now and praise the name of the Lord. And we're going to sing Revelation 12:11 unto the Lord. And then I'll pray over our food, and we'll go have what the ladies have served for us, and we'll see you back at 2:30. Teresa, come and let's praise the Lord.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And they loved not their lives unto death. And I overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of my testimony. And I love not my life unto the death. And I love not my life unto death. And we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. And we love not our lives unto the death. And we love not our lives unto death.
Father, that's my testimony and the testimony of your people here this morning. And we thank you for your presence and for the Shekinah glory of the Holy Ghost that's been amongst us this day. And I thank you for brooding and moving throughout this meeting this entire week and being with us, Lord, and going with your people. And I thank you and I praise you for it. Now, Father, I thank you for the food we're about to receive. Bless it to our bodies. Strengthen us and make it health and life unto us. And let your anointing rest and be with us, Lord, those who depart and those who go other places, Lord. I pray the blessing of the Lord to be upon them, upon us all, as we praise and worship and be a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in word and in deed for your glory. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.